Hey guys, it's Nick. Not a recording I want to be making. Unfortunately, when we recorded an amazing finale to our Chronicles of Narnia campaign, we went back and listened to the supposed recording, and there was just one thing missing. Me. For whatever reason, our recording software just completely disregarded the input coming from my microphone. And as much as I'd like to say that I am just a facilitator to the awesomeness that is my players, the session doesn't make a whole lot of sense without a GM talking at all, just listening to the players respond to long stretches of silence. So, unfortunately, our backup recording has been on the fritz as well. So we were rolling the dice for the last couple weeks, and it came back and bit us, unfortunately. So I'm gonna give you guys the best recap I can of the finale to Chronicles of Narnia. I'm sorry you guys missed it. And then I will, I guess, give you a little preview of what we're planning on doing next. So when the session opened, there was a big confrontation over what to do with Gilenderson, because Hild had basically decided that the magic orb had corrupted him beyond redemption, and she was making good on a promise slash threat that she was going to behead him if that happened. Now, after everything that happened with Orin the Deathless and the blowback from that, Bjorn was already starting to question his faith, and for everyone else, killing Gilenderson was out of the question. So you'll remember the whole party stood up to her and stopped her, and it became a violent confrontation in which she was finally drugged into a sleep, while most of the rest of the party fled. Avon remained behind to confront her when she woke up. Meanwhile, Gilenderson became master of the Iron Tower, and started a ritual that would give him immortality in exchange for destroying half of his soul, which had already been conveniently split in half by his previous shenanigans. So that's where we picked up. First thing we went to was the confrontation where Hild and woke up and saw Avon sitting with her in the ice cave. As you can probably imagine, Hild was aggressive right away. She was panicked that she had been drugged and disoriented and lashed out. Avon essentially told her, "We're not letting you hurt Gilenderson or any of our other friends ever again. You need to come to your senses, and I'm not letting you leave this ice cave until you do." In true Hild fashion, she said, "All right, then I'm going to kill you." What ensued was a longer, more back and forth confrontation than I think anyone really expected out of Avon. Avon pulled some awesome, like, sword art dancing moves to buff himself and heal himself between attacks, and essentially set himself up in a defensive position where for every one of Hild's blows, he would ward it off, counterattack, and then usually manage to rebuff himself. Leveraging his dexterity in his favor. Unfortunately, he was still suffering from the shaky condition inflicted earlier by being out in the bitter cold. And eventually he did succumb to Hild's onslaught after inflicting a very heavy amount of damage to Hild herself. The rest of the group, Bjorn carrying the unconscious half of Gjallarhorn, Grim and Sassa had fled the ice cave, heading out into the dark night of Jotunheim. It was bitterly cold, and Bjorn was lost in every sense. He had no idea where to go, so he just picked a direction and started walking. Sassa gently guided him towards the direction they were previously told Smaff was in, just to provide him some sort of purpose, I suppose. It soon became clear that the elements were going to overtake them. It was bitterly cold. They were unprepared to travel and essentially wandering in not only Jotunheim, but Jotunheim at the start of Ragnarok, the beginning of the Endless Winter. Of course, the group never does anything half-assed. It's always go big and go destructive or go home. So in order to combat their exposure, Sassa conjured a fire elemental to keep them warm, and rather unsubtly burn a trail in the snow to exactly where they were going. They managed to survive long enough to get to the outskirts of a Jotun city and took refuge in an outlying farm there. Bjorn took the opportunity to commune with the spirit of his dead Jotun father, and he felt a flush of power, a connection to the spirits of his ancestors and their religion. He was granted the boon of being able to finally speak his native tongue. Mechanically, he leveled up and thus changed his patron, his deity religion, from the worship of Thor to spirit worship, just because he had found that sense of belonging that he was denied for so long. As soon as he finished his rest there, he desecrated his hammer, drawing over the symbols of Thor for Jotun symbols, signifying his newfound faith. While they were sleeping, the body of Gjallarhorn dissolved, just straight melted skin peeling off like a melting candle, and eventually blood and muscle rending down to a liquid and bones turning to dust until Gjallarhorn was nothing but a soupy mess. Unbeknownst to them, of course, Gjallarhorn's ritual in the Iron Tower was continuing, and he was becoming a lich-like entity of immortality and unknowable power. Hild, standing over the now slain body of Eivon, decided that his spirit was worthy of Valhalla and sent him along. When he arrived, he immediately found the place a bustle for the start of Ragnarok and was confronted by a pretty jovial, if brusque, individual with golden hair and a big red beard and a mighty hammer. Thor personally tapped Eivon and said, "The fight's starting. We're going to Jotunheim," and took off across the Rainbow Bridge with Eivon's spirit and an army of the spirits of the dead, the Einherjar, at his back. Hild, melting ice from the cavern where she was still looking out, purified herself, conducted her rituals to dedicate herself to a quest, and dedicated herself to the cause of destroying Greem and Gilenderson, two evils that she had traveled with and felt that she could no longer tolerate. For her boons, she took knowing the exact location of Greem and Gilenderson at all times, an immunity to piercing weapons, and no longer needing to eat, drink, or sleep. This process, as well as a level up, took her till morning while the others were hiding out in the farmhouse. She took flight and sought them out. Meanwhile, they were waking up to discover that since their elemental had burned an enormous trail through the wilderness and through the outlying Jotun farms, there were Jotun search parties trying to figure out what the hell was going on. The group kind of snuck out of their farmhouse. Hild flew overhead looking for Greem, not knowing that Gilenderson had already partially died. Hild could see up ahead that the Jotun were rallying their own armies for the battles of Ragnarok. Hild found the group sneaking out of the farmhouse as they were dodging search parties and heading for the city. When Bjorn spotted them, or spotted her, hovering over them, making ready to attack, and he unleashed his very fancy new ability, a spell called Sever, which actually severs an appendage from a creature. Temporarily, for as long as Bjorn's concentrating on it, and when the spell ends, the limb reattaches or regrows or whatever's appropriate. So, from high up in the sky, Hild had one of her wings severed. She did manage to use the other one to glide down to some semblance of a controlled flight, but kind of immediately realized that now the Jotun were alerted to her presence, and the place was on high alert, and she was out of her depth. So now, knowing that Thor and his army were coming, she ran away to rally with them. Meanwhile, the search parties, drawn to all the attention, closed around Grim, Sasa, and Bjorn. Bjorn stood up to the search parties and proclaimed himself the son of Vaist, and said that he wanted to talk to Smaff. Smaff was all too willing to do this. Smaff rode out with an army at his back, but particularly his boon companions, a great wolf the size of an elephant as his mount, his shaman priestess on his left, and to his right, an enormous creature even for giant standards, with a great armor-breaking mallet constructed out of whatever heavy materials they could lash to a tree trunk. They confronted Bjorn, Sasa, and Grim right there in the open fields. On the other side, Hild rallied with Eivon, Thor, and his armies, who immediately marched double time to catch up to this conflict. Thor arrived furious to find out that Bjorn had forsaken him and his faith and was now absolutely refusing to acknowledge Thor's presence. So, Kreim, Bjorn, and Sasso were trapped between a Jotun army and an army of the dead, with the king of the Jotun and the god of thunder, both furious at them and wanting them dead. Bjorn, stood there making speeches, trying to rally his people, but of course, Kreim and Sasa had other plans. Sasa went to speak to Smaff's enormous wolf to get to know it, and see what it was all about. And then she, of course, tried turning into a wolf of that size. She absolutely succeeded, and when she did so, the owlbear cloak, previously enchanted for her with unknown properties, flared to life, and she felt the familiar feeling of when she took down that owlbear, when she rallied all the wolves behind her as a pack, and she felt the power of that pack leader. She became an even greater wolf, and Smaff's mount, the Great Wolf of the North, immediately yielded to her as pack leader. So now Smaff is embarrassed, thrown off his mount. He draws his enchanted Axe of Ages that seethes with cold energy. And he's humiliated in front of his entire army. And while he's blustering, getting ready to fight, Bjorn challenges him to single combat for leadership of the Jotun. He's left with no choice but to accept, because he's already been publicly shamed. He can't risk losing more face in front of his armies. Well, as he's about to accept, Grimm, in true Grimm fashion, stabs him in the back. He swings around to murder Grimm when Bjorn casts again his new sever spell and separates his arm from his body, the one holding his mighty magic axe. At this point, all hell kind of breaks loose. The two giant wolves, Sasa and her new companion, tear apart the giant armor breaker. Single combat breaks out between Smaff and Bjorn. Eivon weaves his mightiest arcane art ever to buff and heal Bjorn and his moment of triumph, which infuriates Thor that someone he thought he had just recruited is now helping this betrayer, apostate, and man who even refuses to acknowledge him. At this point, Smaff is already weakened. He has to fight with one arm, having pried his weapon out of his dead hand with his other arm. I get some mighty swings in on Bjorn, but Bjorn has the ability to ward off blows using the strength of his faith, as the spirit of his father emerges from the now possessed hammer and knocks away the attacks. And finally, Bjorn manages to smash Smaff into nothingness. The field grows very still, and nobody knows quite what to make of it. And then some magic starts being flung around. Hild, using scrolls she's been hoarding for the entire game, casts Raise Dead on Smaff's corpse, animating him as a zombie for her side, and casts Fear on Bjorn's hammer, which in response he chucks it away and picks up the discarded Axe of Ages, the mark of leadership among the Jotun. He speaks up and rallies his troops to his cause. invoking a boon that he's granted by his deity, specifically in the instance of personal victory, and having killed the man who killed his father, reclaimed his heritage. It is a mighty boon indeed that he raises the spirit of Smaff, his armor-breaking lieutenant, and a small army of Jotun warrior spirits to come bolster his forces. And then the armies clash. The Inhrjar and the Jotun spirits and the living Jotun themselves go at it. Hild and her new zombie slave go after Grim immediately. Grim manages to scramble up on his back and just keeps stabbing the zombie in the head until he drops. Sasa and Bjorn engage straight in a knockdown drag out fight with Thor. Sasa and her friend, who you still giant wolves. You mythology buffs might remember that in Ragnarok, Thor is fated to be killed by Fenrir, the great giant wolf. So that was an interesting thing that we kind of stumbled backwards into. And at last, the Iron Tower appears on the field, just bursting through the Jotun city, where no tower existed before. Its great gates open and start spewing forth monsters who seem intent to shut down the battle by bloody conquest. And that's where we left. Ragnarok begun, its final fate still unknown. Bjorn as king of the Jotun, with Sasa and Grim as his aides and lieutenants. Eivon has invoked the ire of Thor by supporting Bjorn in the final days, and in response, Thor strikes him down with lightning. Hild has taken up her final purpose as a warrior in Ragnarok, and Jillanderson as master of the Iron Tower, trying to prevent Ragnarok through an onslaught of martial force. And things are rather unresolved, but I think satisfying at the end. And I wish you guys got to hear it properly because it was an awesome session. And it makes me super sad that it's just that moment that existed once. Which it's why I record the games, so that that stuff can be shared and it lived forever in its own way. And 5 years down the line, I'm hearing people talk about an awesome thing that happened in a game that I can't even remember anymore, but it's still bringing people joy. So that was Chronicles of Narnia, my first Dungeon World game. I know I made some mistakes in running Dungeon World, but I am very happy with the system overall. There are certainly tweaks I would make, and I was interested in running more games based on that same engine. So after we wrapped, we had the discussion of what do we do next. I pitched two campaigns to the players. One of them is a direct Dungeon World expansion book called Inverse World, which is a cool kind of magical and technology-based setting inside a hollow planet, the core of which is basically their sun, and it's surrounded by floating islands, and there's airships and like cool collectors who live on the outer crust of the planet and crawl around everywhere. It's a little bit Final Fantasy VI-ish, I guess, but I was thinking about running it like a sci-fi B movie, like what is it, Terror on the Forbidden Planet or something. I thought that would be cool, but it's ultimately not what we ended up on, and I think we made the right choice, 'cause to be honest, I don't really vote when we talk about those things. I just pitch forth what I think are my best ideas, but I'm a little more excited about the other one. It is a Kickstarter pre-released product. It should be coming out in a couple months, but the backer PDF has already been sent out. It's a game called Masks: A New Generation, and it is a superhero game, but it's a super specific superhero game that it is meant to emulate the fourth generation of superheroes who are currently teenagers. And it's very much in the flavor of Young Justice and Teen Titans and the Runaway comic series, where you are superpowered teenagers, and it's that age where everything is so important and your self-image is just changing on a dime. And it's a super cool system, powered by Apocalypse, just like Dungeon World is. But it's got a bunch of cool, unique stuff, like people gain influence over you, and they can use that influence to actually change your physical stats. Because when you're a teenager, even if you don't like someone, the things they say about you still matter so much, they can shake you up as a person. So I'm super excited about that, and hopefully we get that rolling soon. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And I guess that's it. Again, I'm super sad you guys don't get to hear the proper finale to Narnia, but unfortunately that shit happens sometimes, and we're gonna try to be more careful in the future. Okay, bye everybody.